It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, and as we do each and every Wednesday morning, we try and sift through what we call the economy, and to help us get through that. The economy, I was going to say, is like challenging a mountainous ski, you know, ski moguls and stuff like that, but I can't now. Now I've got to say it's a river. So to help us navigate the river that is the economy today, we have with us founder and president of Wealthwise Financial, our economic expert, Laureen Gilbert. Laureen, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to have you. How are you today?
Doing well.
Good.
Yeah, everything's good here.
Good. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff to cover today. We're expecting an announcement from the Fed here in a little bit. What exactly are you expecting to hear from the Fed this morning?
You know, Ed, it's an important day because we've been awaiting some important data from the Fed that should be released. So what's called the summary of economic projections had been delayed because of the coronavirus and the uncertainty, and we're expecting the Fed to be transparent today with that information, which gives us a viewpoint into what they're thinking, what they're seeing, and what may lie ahead. So all of that is important. We also expect that the Fed will not change rates, will not change interest rates. And in fact, we think that they will reiterate they have no plans to go into negative rates. The other thing I think that we're going to hear some discussion, perhaps they may address, is that the long end of the curve has been steepening. And therefore, we may hear the Fed talk about what we call yield curve controlling, meaning that they could intervene in the yield curve, which is interesting. The Bank of Japan has done that on the long end on the 10-year. I don't expect that to happen on the 10-year here, but they may do that in kind of the intermediate 3 to 5 years. So a lot of important information. And, of course, the Fed balance sheet has now risen to over $7 trillion. So once again, the markets have been what I call Fed-itized, meaning that every time the Fed speaks, the market reacts to whatever the Fed says. So I would expect market movement based on what the Fed says.
Okay. Are we still expecting a pretty bad quarterly report?
Yes. I mean, okay. You know, definitely as far as GDP numbers are concerned, as far as the economy is concerned, we're still, you know, you may have heard we are officially in a recession. If anybody had any doubts, that has now been made official that we are in the middle of a recession.
Okay. And speaking of which, I meant to ask you this last week, but during a recession, and certainly in a situation where people are unemployed, they're off for a while, they're unable to put money into their 401ks. And the last quarter, the 401k average balance was down 19% from the previous quarter. What should Americans be doing with their 401ks in a time like this?
Well, 401ks are an important part of pretty much the majority of people's wealth. Individual wealth is in two areas. Their 401k and their house are the two areas of their greatest wealth. So certainly 401ks are an important part of Americans' overall wealth. Certainly it did go down in the first quarter because the market did. And as you know, the market has also had a great recovery. What I would say is this is a lesson to people participating in their 401ks to make sure they're not just taking all their money and putting it into cash out of fear, but making sure that their asset allocation is suitable for them. And what that means is looking at their time horizon. So look at your time horizon, see how much longer before you're going to retire. Look at your own personal risk tolerance. How comfortable are you with volatility? And one of the important areas of 401ks that have been added are two things. One, some type of model portfolio based on risk. And another are target date funds that are based on when somebody is going to retire. So the target date funds become more conservative as you get closer to retirement so that by the time you're 65, you have a portfolio that's geared towards your retirement years. And then on the risk-based models, it stays static based on your risk. So, for instance, if you pick a balanced portfolio that has 60% equities, 40% bonds, it will stay that way and just stay level according to your risk. So I would encourage 401k participants to look at those kinds of investments to see that makes it easy. It's one of those set it and forget it, as long as you get your risk tolerance correct.
I love how you explain it and how simple it sounds. Thank you. If we're likely to have a year, of course, like this year, with significantly less income than your last year, is it a good idea to roll into a Roth conversion? And what is a Roth conversion?
So there are two types of Roth. There's a Roth contribution that you can make, and there's a Roth conversion. So a Roth contribution means you're putting in future dollars that are after-tax dollars, growing tax-deferred, and coming out tax-free, okay, as opposed to your pre-tax dollars that grow tax-deferred and come out taxable as ordinary income. So what I tell people is to look at balancing out your retirement dollars between Roth dollars and pre-tax dollars, so that in retirement, you can do tax mitigation as you're taking money out. Now, if you to convert it, means that you're taking those pre-tax dollars and you're converting them into Roth dollars, which means you will pay ordinary income tax on that conversion. So let's say you have $50,000 that you convert in from a pre-tax to Roth. You would pay taxes as if you earned another $50,000. So in a year like this year, if, for instance, you find yourself unemployed, you were employed in the year, so you can show earned income, but you're unemployed right now, perhaps you could convert. But remember, you're also going to have to pay income taxes on that money. So for most people that I talk to, it oftentimes makes sense to change your future dollar allocation and build up a Roth balance, like I said, to balance out those pre-tax contributions.
Thank you. That makes so much sense. A question that I have for it: why are bond markets so very cautious? Are there any warning signs that we receive from bond markets about maybe a sour turn in the fall?
It's important to look at the bond markets because the bond markets are always bearish, right? So just, and if you talk to anybody who's either a bond market trader or a bond market portfolio manager, they're always in that bear camp. So certainly the bond markets are cautious, and I think the reason is well-founded. We've had such a run-up in the equity markets that even on the equity side, people, we're looking at valuations and saying for investors to get ready for a normalized correction in the markets, because we are seeing extended valuations on the equity side. We had the biggest drawdown in a short period of time. We've also seen the fastest recovery on the upside. And with that, we now have valuations that we think are somewhat extended.
Okay. All right. And last week, was an astounding, a surprise that we actually gained jobs in the job market. Mm-hmm. And the unemployment rate temporarily dropped down to 13, but then there was a discrepancy about 16.5%. Can you explain to us the disparity there?
Sure. So, yes, the unemployment numbers went down unexpectedly. The expectation was for it to actually go up by another 3%. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, which comes out with these numbers, has admitted that there are problems with their data collection. And the biggest issue is how people are filling out their own claims. And many people are putting employed, temporarily laid off, versus unemployed, temporarily laid off. So they feel like there's a 3% discrepancy. So instead of being that 13.5% number, we believe it's around 16.5% is the real number.
Okay. All right. And a couple of more questions. If you're missing any portion of this, you can certainly catch it on the podcast. We'll have it up a little bit later on. But a couple of more questions for you. Last week, I asked you a question as to why the market wasn't affected by all the unrest going on across the country. And no kidding when I tell you this, your answer really haunted me all week long. Your answer was that only small businesses were being affected by the unrest. Why is there such a disconnect between small businesses, who are a majority of the businesses in this country, and the economic driver that is Wall Street, that is the New York Stock Exchange, that are those large businesses?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, when certainly small business is the backbone of the U.S. economy and where we employ 50% of the employment. are employed through small business. So it's a huge part of our overall economy. But remember that the markets are only based on publicly traded companies. And there's only, you know, there's only thousands of companies. I mean, there's only, you know, 3,500, 4,000 companies that are publicly traded. So the public markets are actually a small part of all of the companies that are represented in the United States. There are far more, you know, there's far more small businesses than there are publicly traded companies. So we estimate that there's around 30 million small businesses in the United States compared to that much smaller number of publicly traded companies. One thing I'll say about the small business, since we're talking about it, is that the NFIB number actually went up as far as, and the NFIB is a survey that's taken where small business owners answer questions on how they're feeling, what their sentiment is, how their what their confidence is. And it went up from 90 to 94, huge increase, which is great. But CapEx expectations, in other words, when small business owners were asked, do you expect this year to spend money on capital expenditures for your business, that number went way down. Right. It went from 30% to 20%. And what that said is that there is concern for small business owners on not wanting to spend the cash that they have on expenditures. And the reason is they're concerned. They're concerned about reopening. They're concerned about maybe another lockdown. So while they're optimistic on their prospects over the long haul, they're concerned about their cash in the short haul, and so they don't want to spend that money.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Now, you have your entire career been heavily involved in elevating women in business and wanting to see more women in the boardroom and recognizing the importance of talented CEOs. Well, ADM's Lisa Su was the highest paid CEO of a company in the S&P 500 last year and the first woman to top that annual review. How does that make you feel?
You know, I think Lisa Su is one of those people that I'd love to meet. She's a role model for women, and she's a role model on how to lead companies. And it goes back to what I've said before, is that by having women in the boardroom, you have a more successful company. If you look at that company and you look at the results, one of the things that Lisa Su did is she brought down their debt level significantly. During the good years, she was working hard to pay off debt, which then put them in an excellent position in this downturn to be well capitalized, a strong balance sheet. And you may have heard this, that Apple just announced that they're no longer going to be using Intel for their Mac. Huge opportunity here for Lisa Su and her company. And I will tell you, she is somebody, you know, she went to MIT. She's excelled her whole career. And once again, I would say she's a role model for women.
Well, I will tell you this, that for us, you're an example of that. You're certainly a role model.
Thank you.
You really are.
Thank you, Ed.
You've been fighting for it forever, and I really appreciate it. Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial founder and president, our economic expert. Laureen, thank you so much for being on our program this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We will look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds great.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.